Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Accelerate Your Business Growth,
where we're exploring all sorts of business topics. Experts from around the world join me, your host, Diane Helbig, for a conversation where they share their expertise with all of you. Take what you need when you need it. Featured on Inc.com, Forbes, and MSNBC's Your Business, this podcast is recognized as one of the best podcasts for small business, sales, leadership, social media, and more. When it comes to business, Accelerate Your Business Growth has got it covered. And now on with the show. This computer. My guest today is Erin Andrea Krask. Erin is an award-winning strategist with a 20-year career in the industry, rising to global head of consumer brands. Her expertise extends to strategic development, profitability, leadership, and communication. Armed with 16 years of successful leadership and coaching experience, she has emerged as an ICF-certified executive transformation coach. She empowers conscious business rebels to achieve success on their terms and build a profitable business while amplifying a ripple effect of goodness. Thanks so much for being here today, Erin.
Thank you, Dan, for inviting me and for having me here.
I'm thrilled to have you here. We're going to be talking about strategy or the lack thereof. So, you know, let's just go straight there. Why is it that small business owners don't strategize, like don't think about the importance of having a strategy? In, you know, they have goals, I think, but where does this, why does this drop off like this?
Well, it's a very good question. In all fairness, I believe that in my book, I had like 10 or 12 different reasons that I may not remember all because I don't have a photographic memory, but I'll do my absolutely best. Yeah. So I guess the first reason, let's see where this business owners get their knowledge from.
Okay.
You know, all the best practices that are being promoted, does anybody talk about strategy? I mean, you know, best of my knowledge, people don't. They all talk about tactics that, funny enough, they call strategies.
Right.
So obviously, there's another point that there's a misconception. There's a that people don't get the difference between the two. Right. So for me, it's the first one, because you have, when you join the industry as a new business owner, there's a very low barrier to entry. Anybody can become a business owner, whether you do have knowledge or you don't, right? That is not necessitated by the state of affairs.
Yeah.
And then they start listening to whatever is implemented. And when business gurus, you know, share information, so first of all, they're not strategists to start with. Often they share something that is relevant to their own business. Then others start copying, pasting. Right. And you get this absolutely massive amount of information, all tactical, about digital, because this is what people promote.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I always say that everybody suddenly become professionals in measuring conversions with nobody bothering to being bothered to understand why conversions don't convert. Right. Because the question why, it's not the most interesting question. Even when you go through podcasts, what is the first question? How? Right? And nobody's asking why. And there's no business without why.
Yes.
So that's, I believe, the first reason. And when actually I was writing the book, I was like, you know, because I was thinking, okay, who am I to share my knowledge? So I went to HBR, famous, and I started reading articles. And when I saw that all these famous HBR professors say exactly the same thing as I was thinking, I'm like, okay, so there's something valid about it. But on the internet, those are the only people that talk about strategy.
Yeah.
And how many business owners are going to be reading HBR on a regular basis?
Not many.
So that's the first risk, and I believe. Another one, people, I guess they think that it's too complicated or it's too time consuming, right, to strategize. And for that, I was saying, that is actually interesting because why nobody questions the need for strategy in a war, right? And how business is different because where you fight for every share point, it is exactly the same fight. It's exactly the same war for your place within your category. And yet, here we don't need it. And in the war, it's okay because in the war, you need to know your battlefield. You need to plan your resources. You need to understand your competitor. Otherwise, how can you win? Right? So this is something that, again, makes no sense, but apparently it's easier that way. Right? So there are many other reasons, like, again, misunderstanding, taking tactics for strategies.
Yeah, I think that's a big...
That is just brilliant, you know? Yeah. So, also, there's another one that I absolutely love. We are a lean business. That's fantastic, right? But even if you're a lean business, you kind of test whatever you're trying to launch. But when you shape your proposition eventually, you're still supposed to create a strategy. Right, you can't be testing till the till cows come home.
Right.
And this is exactly what they do. It was amazing. I was having an interview with one business. It wasn't totally incredible. So they were in liquor, and they were launching new products. You won't believe, pretty much every month. There was no thinking behind it, no understanding. Do they need it? So it's like myriad of different flavors. What they did, they were producing the thing, this new product, and seeing whether it's take off or it doesn't. So if it doesn't take off, they bin it. And then they produce another one. And, you know, apart from it's a complete waste of resources, I was always thinking, do you ever think about your innovation guys or marketing guys, right? They always do something with no result because every time all your efforts go down the drain.
Well, because they're being taught lean. It's what you said about lean before. You know, there's this whole philosophy around fail first and, you know, throw it out there. Don't wait until you've got this perfect product or service. Create the baseline, throw it out there, and use the feedback to fine tune the thing. So that's why people are doing that, that they think that that's a great strategy.
Well, yeah, you fine-tune the thing, and when you realize that this is exactly what you do because it's successful, create a strategy. You know, there's one thing that people also don't realize. When you go through numbers, and again, I was doing my desk research for the book, 50% of small businesses, they fail within the first 3 to 5 years in operation. Did anybody actually ever consider that the first 3 to 5 years is something that is known as a strategic planning period? So, you know,
that's priceless.
Thank you. I was actually, I liked it myself when I thought about it for the first time. Like, really? That was just so easy.
Yeah.
So,
okay. So it's so interesting because when you were talking also before about war, and you know, people think that it's easier not to have a strategy. I kept thinking, okay, it makes it so much harder to be successful if you don't have a strategy around what it is you're trying to accomplish. You know, if you don't have that vision, if you don't, you know, when you compared it to the war, it made perfect sense to me. But I think people, and I think we do this a lot, where we think the shortest path is the best path, and many times the way we get to the shortest path is by doing the work, the pre-work.
And that is, again, another thing that I recently thought of in terms of the shortest path. Because how come with the shortest? You go one direction, you realize it's not the path to the destination. So you turn around, you go a different one. It kind of doesn't look like, you know, the direct route. So it's a dead end. You turn again. So after the third or fourth turn, you kind of get exhausted.
Yeah.
Right? Because, you know, yeah, you're still nowhere. Then you go through burnout. Then you run out of resources. You don't have any more food. You don't have any more water. Right? Yeah. And you're still turning, you know, different directions. You go there. And that is exactly how they, I mean, I'm sorry, but it's exactly how some businesses run it. Yeah. It's like, you have a fantastic idea from a brand owner. Let's try this to see if it works.
Yeah.
Oops, it doesn't work. Let's try something else and see how it, you know, if it works. It not only applies to product, also applies to communication. You know, I have another genius idea. Everybody, let's run together and implement my genius idea.
Yeah.
And this is what I'm talking about, just turning every time, unless you're totally exhausted, you're running out of resources, you're running out of time, and your destination is nowhere near. So that's what it does to business when you have no strategy, because the strategy is the path to the destination. If you don't have a path, you're going to be walking around clueless, or, as I say, running like headless chickens.
This is And if I'm understanding you right, I just want to make sure that I am, so the listeners are, it's the strategy that then provides you with the tactics. The tactics aren't the strategy. You have to have the strategy first, and then that tells you then the things that you need to actually do and who needs to do them. And, okay.
Yeah. So what actually, I had an image I created, like a framework, you know, to explain. I'm not sure I can explain it without an image, but basically what happens when you have your strategy, when you have your goal, ultimate or destination, whatever you call it, right? Whatever you plan comes from this destination, right? So you have your goal, then you have your strategies, and then you have your actions, right? So, and you look at it and everything is aligned because it comes from one single point.
Yeah.
If you don't have it, if you start at the level of objectives and tactics, they go in all possible directions, and you can pray that sometime, somehow, they will all end up in the same place.
Right.
Right? And this is what I'm saying, that if you don't have strategy, if you start from the level of objectives and actions and tactics, then you have a very big chance that you all your efforts will kind of hitting different goals, going in different directions, which again means waste of your resources.
Right.
Because they don't complement each other.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, it makes so much sense to me. Okay, so talk to me about, so someone's listening and they're thinking to themselves, wow, you know what? I think that pretty much is how I'm feeling, you know, pretty much what I think I'm doing. What do they, are there like first steps or, you know, a process that they go through to sort of step back and helicopter up and reevaluate? Is there, you know, what advice would you give them?
Oh, there are two different approaches.
Okay.
So one approach, I believe it was research done by KPMG, but I'm not 100% certain.
Okay.
And it's called Zero Reset. And apparently most businesses, they opt for this approach. So basically, by starting from blank canvas, you forget everything that you've done and you start reset your business from zero.
Okay.
And I believe it is a little bit risky because not everybody is ready to go through, you know, I think it depends on what stage and what condition the business in is. So sometimes it's easier, basically. How was my boss was saying that it's easier to cover up than clean off.
Okay, I get that.
While Michael Porter, he was advocating for a different approach. It was a different approach. So it's about finding the existing strength. What are your best customers? What are your best performing products? What are your best operations or processes? and reshape the strategy around your best assets, your business assets. So that is a little bit safer, right? But it doesn't come without a challenge, because any strategy necessitates trade-offs. So you really need to choose to make, to choose one thing over another. And often businesses are reluctant to make such choices because they believe that it's a sign of weakness, you know, and also you have to stand by your decision. And what if you lose this part of customers? What if you lose this product part? You know, this is story of people launching new products just because somebody else has the same product, or just because clueless customer said that I want it. Oh, the customer wants it. Let's create another product, right? So they end up having something totally unmanageable. Right. And then when you come to strategy and you have to select your best performing, which means that you have to bin the rest. And it's scary. How come? Right? I'm limiting my portfolio. I'm limiting my customers. But this is actually the focal point of a strategy. It is about making the right choices that work for your customer, for your company, right? And when you do it, it becomes so much more manageable. So I believe.
No, oh my gosh, I'm so glad that you said that, because it's what do they say? The riches are in the niches. You know that there's so many. And I heard a woman do it this morning. There's so many people who say, "Oh well, this is good for everyone." Okay, but everyone's not a target market. Like you can't. No. Market to everyone. You can't message to everyone. You really have to have an idea of, this is what we do best. This is who we do it for. Like, this is the value that we bring. This is who it's valuable to, and head in that direction. It doesn't mean later you couldn't add a division or, you know, a whole new product line. But I think people are really afraid to narrow, so to speak, right? Their field, because they feel like they're going to miss out on business, but they're not realizing how crazy they're making themselves internally.
Yeah, because when you have many products, first of all, it's difficult to manage. You have production issues, logistic issues, SKUs, stock keeping units takes place in the stock, right? You have to pay for that. Some of them perform better, some of them perform worse, right? The whole logistic gonna depend on this quantity. So basically, again, what happens? You start wasting your resources, because there is an analysis called the TURF, Total Unduplicated Reach and Frequency. So basically what it shows that when you start analyzing your portfolio, especially if it's like overgrown, you will see that you have SKUs that bring 70% of profit. Volume depends on your price category.
Sure.
And you also have SKUs that going to underperform, or like 3-10%. So your objective is to pick those who perform according to expectations and to cut the tail off.
Definitely.
Because there's absolutely no point. You waste more resources on producing and keeping them and selling them that they bring the return to you.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, it's so great. Okay, so let's talk about target audiences, because a little bit more. So just because I want people to really understand, so I'm going to ask the question in a totally different way. So when you do that analysis and you figure out what the top is and you cut it off, right? Then I'm thinking that tells you who your target audience is?
Not really, because products... Oh, how would I say? There's, again, misconception about target audiences and brands. So the first thing first, target audience isn't an avatar. It's a human being.
Darn it, really?
I mean, you know, it's your audience is not defined by your demographics unless you have specific products. It defined by your values. Or their needs and their values. And there are many other things that you have in segmentation. So when you define your segment, it's going to be a value-based segment. And if you look at their purchasing habits, communication habits, it's more into tactics, right? So you can have one segment and people within and strategic, and people within the segment going to behave differently, and their behavior are your tactics, right? But you can't create 25 different avatars for every potential client because you're going to create a mess.
Yeah,
it's not possible. Your brain doesn't. It just your brain can't switch easily from one to another. The brand has to be focused on one persona or one segment. Okay, in my world, they're segments.
Yeah, yeah.
And then again, underneath that, you have behaviors, and this is how you try to catch people that have the same values but may have different habits, purchase habits, or communication habits. So that is one thing. It's and if you because once I saw it was an advice, imagine your avatar, imagine your client.
Uh-huh.
How can you run a business on something that you've imagined? You know,
yeah.
The best thing you can do if you have no resources to buy reports. Okay, I'm not advocating to run a segmentation study. It's too expensive.
Yeah,
you can buy reports. There are lots of research firms. They produce reports according to industry, so you can get information from there. Or you can run desk research, find YouTube videos with your potential target audience, what they say, how they feel, look at the article, look at interviews, right? So you're going to get more or less idea in terms of how they think, because marketing is psychology. It's not about numbers. It is about psychology. And then use it to create your segment profile, right? But please don't imagine and don't use a stock photo, because it's like it's going to make it better. No, it won't, because if your stock photo is a young boy, and then you're somebody in your audience, a middle-aged woman, so you will create a new avatar for a middle-aged woman, and this is how it's going to grow? So, yeah, so that's the first thing. Second thing, I don't even remember your question now. The second thing is about brands and product. There is a massive difference between brand and product. Okay. And all our industry at the moment, it's all about products with branded names. They are not brands. Even if you call it this way, it's still not brand. And this is a massive difference, because difference is when somebody sells a product, usually they're going to be using push marketing, like push distribution, right? They're going to reinforce this message. They're going to go through tactical activities yet again, and they will be looking at return on investment, because this is what you get from tactical activities. Return of investment never brings you to profitability. They're totally different things, and you can't expect your profit coming from your immediate cash returns. So that doesn't work.
Okay.
And brands isn't a product. So when you talk about targeting, well, your question was about targeting, you know, brand product targeting customers.
Yeah.
It's not possible, because you can target only a brand with a, if you want to build a connection, if you want to use not push communication, but pull marketing, when you want to have a self-selling brand, then you need your audience to come to you because they want to pay for your offer, not because you push them with discount or seduce them with loyalty schemes, because they want to stay with you. And this you can only achieve through brands. So giving a product a brand name, it's not the same as to have a full brand that have emotional connection with your target customer.
I see.
Wow.
Boy, are you tired?
I never thought. I can't talk for such a long time.
You had no idea. That was great. It was brilliant. And does it all come back to when we're talking about brand, not branded products, but brand and audience? Does it all come back to values? Does it come back to what their values are and ours, and if they align? Is that?
You have two, I mean, in my world, again, this is the kind of framework that I came up with, that you can approach building a brand from two different perspectives.
Okay.
So it can be bottom up and top down. Bottom up, when you start with your differentiation as attributes and features, and then you move through different levels of benefits. There are four levels of benefits.
Okay.
So the first one is rational, emotional, self-actualization, and transcendental.
Okay.
It's take Maslow pyramid to start with. It's just going to be easy to understand, you know, why there is a progression. So you moving from very rational and tangible, such as product attributes, into very intangible, because transcendental benefit is, it is intangible. It is about how self-actualized person gonna bring value to the surroundings.
Okay.
So it's not about me, it's about what I'll do for others. Uh-huh. So that's a transcendental benefit.
Okay.
And it comes to brand essence. And then you have a top-down approach. When you start from your belief, and your belief leads to your purpose, that actually, in my opinion, the easiest way, you know, to define purpose, you can go through Ikigai framework, or you can say, I believe in this or that, and my purpose is to make it come true. That is just so easy. And then it goes through your vision and through your mission, and it comes to your essence. Right. So there are two approaches. Either you start with something that you believe in and you want to implement, and this is why your business exists, or you start with what you offer and how it fits, or what kind of customer will it fit. Right. Or you can say, okay, I want to target this particular customer, and this is what I create for them. So they're kind of, you know, you can start either way, but they both have to be connected at the level of brand essence.
Yes. Right.
It just sounds scary, but it's not. It's so much fun.
Well, I mean, as you were talking about it, I was thinking I like the top down too. I because it goes back to the why, and that is such a great beacon to be you know, working by and living by. So and because then your offering speaks to that. And
there's
so
there's one massive benefit of having this why. In my profitability flow framework, where strategy is one of the pillars, because there's no profitability without strategy, I have contribution. So the difference between purpose and contribution: purpose is strategic, contribution is your daily activity. Mm-hmm. And apart from having this why, again, I don't believe people realize that having either purpose or contribution or both is actually massively beneficial for your mental health.
Oh.
Because it improves your resilience, it improves your stamina, it gives you meaning. Meaning is very important for the mental health.
Yeah.
You know, why to persevere.
Sure.
It brings in the right people, and the right people are more willing to contribute to your business and to be part of it if they're all united by doing something good. So it has so many different benefits apart from being a trendy word. And also, when you are ignited, your team is behind you.
Yeah,
you
also
gonna have a bigger impact on your external stakeholders that will appreciate you for what you do.
Yeah,
right. So basically, your brand reputation, your business reputation, also gonna win from it.
Yeah.
So it has so many different benefits.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, I love that. Wow. Okay. We have talked about an awful lot and mind-blowing. I love this conversation. Thank you so much for doing this. Talk some about the book and where people can get it, you know, every little thing, and how they can find you.
Thank you.
If you would.
Yeah, let's talk about the book, because actually the book was written specifically to help people avoid making detrimental business mistakes. I analyzed all the mistakes that they make. They also have information all around the internet where they explain why their businesses failed. And if you do the analysis, you will realize that 80% of mistakes are attributable to the area of marketing or brand. Because again, there's a need for a change of the mindset. People or businesses don't earn money because they sell. They earn money because people buy.
Yes.
There is a very big difference, again, how you approach it, right? And your business is as profitable as your brand contribution, because you We're not going to go through the P&L analysis, but basically your business profitability depends on your brand contribution and not on your top line.
Definitely. So,
okay, that's aside. So what I decided to do, I just packaged everything that I knew over 20 years into something very practical, very easy to, okay, I'm not an English speaker, so I can't actually write anything complicated. So it was really easy to read, skimmable content. And there's no water. It's very precise, straight to the point. And I'm going to cover business strategy, growth strategy, market entry strategy, portfolio strategy, brand strategy, communication strategy, wow, everything. And it's, some of them going to be more like, okay, so that is giving you an overview. Some chapters really go into details of how you do it step by step with all the coaching questions, importantly, with all the research I could find. So every recommendation I give, first of all, I explain why. Here we go again.
Right.
And secondly, I give research numbers so people can see, or readers can see for themselves, that this is what consumers want. Mm.
Yeah.
That has been already proven. So it's not my subjective opinion.
Right.
Yeah. So I also added a few quotes, inspirational quotes here and there, different exercises. So it is very practical. And all people who read it, they say it's something that you're going to keep on your desk. So every time
sounds
you need
like
something
it.
Refresh, you know, so it's not sure. Like it's not a leisure reading,
yeah,
but it's not heavy reading either. It's not like academic book.
Right.
So, and if you're interested in learning, you know, how to build your strategy and your brand, you can find the book on Amazon, or you can find it on the Great British Bookshop with 50% discount.
Ooh.
That is, it's not, yeah, because the book is expensive. Not of my choosing. Please. First of all, it's very expensive to print. Then there's a massive markup that, you know, I couldn't avoid because it just, yeah, imposed on me. And also Amazon prices, well, as
yeah,
they wish, right?
Yeah.
So I have no control.
Right.
So this why, you know, 50% off actually may be a good thing for
nice.
Somebody who can.
What's,
you know,
the title?
From Purpose to Profit.
That's right. Thank you. I will make sure that that is in the show notes. And how do people find you?
And how do people find me? To make it really easy this time around, so I don't need to go into many details, they can find me in your show notes.
Well, there we go. Okay. And they will, because I will make sure that it is in there. So that is so excellent. Erin, thank you so much. I so appreciate this. This has really been...
And thank you for asking all your questions, letting me off my steam.
Hey.
Yeah, let me tell what I think. Finally. Yeah.
Well, you're not passionate about it at all. Let me just say.
No, not at all. Not enough suffering. No.
No. Oh my gosh. This was really great. And listeners, thank you. You are who we're doing this for. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Accelerate Your Business Growth, a production of Evergreen Podcasts. Discover more episodes of this podcast and explore others at evergreenpodcast.com. As always, continue to prosper and be curious. And if you're looking to get your sales strategy headed in the right direction, pick up a copy of Succeed Without Selling on Amazon or wherever books are sold. Until we meet again on another episode of Accelerate Your Business Growth, goodbye and good day.
How much do you understand the future of finance? I'm Jim Roos, a top 10 banking influencer and host of the podcast Banking Transformed, where we dive deeply into the rapidly evolving world of banking and financial technology. Join me as I interview industry experts, thought leaders, and innovators as they unravel the latest banking trends, disruptions, and game-changing technologies reshaping the world of finance. Redefine your understanding of the banking ecosystem. Subscribe now to Banking Transformed, available wherever you get your podcasts, and now available on YouTube.